Greet someone and welcome each other to church this morning before you're seated. When you're all done and just keep going, I love seeing you guys welcoming each other so you can have a seat when you're done. Gotta rein it in a little bit. I don't know about you, but it comforts me to know that my God is steady and unchanging. You know, in a world that is ever-changing and feeds us a lot of lies, one thing holds true for me, that I know that God loves me and he's got my back, right? And this song is just a simple song, one of Andrew's favorite songs, a hallelujah. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain, firm, not shaky, not unreliable, but firm beneath my feet, amen? So let's proclaim that this morning.
Makes me sing, hallelujah.
that's true for you this morning, that his love makes you sing. Even if you're not a singer, it's okay. Still can sing. this next song, you know, there's been so many times, and I know if I opened this up to testimonies here this morning that we'd probably never get out of here. But that's a good thing some Sundays. But I know there's been certainly many times, and we know some of your stories, that God has just showed up and rescued you from whatever it is that you're going through. And, of course, it's all in his timing, and sometimes we don't understand, and that's okay because we're not God. He is, right? And it's a hard thing for us to let that go sometimes because we want to be in control. But if you've been rescued this morning, and I know that you have, there's been, you know, many, many things that you've probably gone through in your life, just sing this out that, you know, when you called, he answered, right?
Giving up. I was sharing with the verse service that, you know, it's neat for me when Allison gets up and she sings. I remember the first time I called her mom and said, you know, your daughter led worship. And she said, what have you done with my daughter? Because it was unlike Allison to get up front and to do things in days gone by. And so it was one of those proud moments. And then one Sunday she surprised me when she did a special and she sat down to the piano. And she hadn't played piano in years. And it blessed me. And it was just one of those beautiful moments where I'm reminded of just how much of a blessing it is to let God lead, even to places that are sometimes uncomfortable, right? And so Allison sat down at the piano for these songs, and I just went, I just felt so blessed. This is called We Sing Hallelujah, and it's talking about forever he will be glorified, right? If you know the song, we want you to sing along, and if you don't, I want you to just get lost in the words. It's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Moon and stars, they wept. The morning
Because he's defeated death and sin, he also can defeat our foes. Amen? And I talked about the other song that was called Came to My Rescue. Well, this song is called Rescue, and it's by Lauren Daigle, and you've probably heard it. If you haven't, I encourage you just to close your eyes and capture the words, that this is our God. This is our God that will fight for you. This is our God that will step up and send out an army in the middle of your darkest night. Because he's got your back, and he loves you so much. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. Sometimes that's all we can do. We can't shout. We're so exhausted that we just can only whisper, but he hears it. And he hears your cry. And he wants to send out an army. If you're willing to allow him to help, that's what he's here for.
How is everybody? Good? Have you had a good week? I hope that you've had a good week. You know what? Have you been counting your blessings? Have you been thankful this week? Now, that was a challenge last week. And again, I hope that you are understanding that that can be a wonderful game changer, right? That if we can count our blessings, it can captivate our thoughts and change the way in which we come to Christ. And we said this, you know what? You need to take captive every thought, right? Because you know that every moment of every day, the enemy has you in his sights, and he is trying to discourage you. He's trying to derail you. He's trying to frustrate you. He's trying to stall you. But if you could take all of those thoughts and make them obedient unto Christ, and again, have that truth hidden in your heart, well, you know what? All of a sudden, your worldview will change. How you see the world, how you interact with the world will change. That's happened just this week. Right? When Tara and Victor went in to hear from doctors and they said, we haven't got good news. And they were like, okay, you know what? This isn't necessarily the news that we wanted, but we have one who already knew what we didn't know and we trust him still. That's mind-boggling for those who watch your faith. Do you know that? And so coming to God with this grateful heart, understanding all that he has already done for you, that changes the way you come to God. Right? Coming in thanks, I hope that you understand that it's huge, and that's what we tried to get across last week, that either you trust him with all you have, or you don't trust him at all, right? And counting those blessings helps you to see God's great heart, and it helps you to understand better his great love for you, right? And so when I was praying about, okay, Lord, what are we going to be talking about this week? I've been blessed. I'm going to head out. I'm going to Halifax Wednesday night. We had some friends who love my mom in Ontario, and they said, Andrew, we thought that you were going to see your mom this fall. And I said, look, there's been a few funerals and things that have kind of changed my plans. I'm not sure when I'm going to get there. And they said, when is Kirtland speaking again? He said, he's speaking next week. And then a few minutes later, I got a text saying, your plane leaves on Thursday morning. And I went, I don't have a plane. They said, you do now. And they said, you got 4 days with your mother, then get back and deal with all the stuff that you got to deal with. And so I felt blessed. Somebody, is Kirtland still in here? Remind him he's working Monday for me at the crossing guard. You're working Monday at the crossing guard. It's going to be on tape. So can you do that next week? Yeah, you have to. Okay, so there it is. It's either that or I'll help you with your resume this afternoon. Okay. So all those blessings are coming down, and I was kind of going, Lord, you know what we need. Now, I wasn't expecting to see her, but maybe she needs to see me. I don't know. Maybe it's my brother in some conversation that we're going to have where something is revealed, but I know this. I am trusting the one who guards our days, who sets before us the path, right? I want to be finding the lane that God wants me in. Right? And I want to stay in that lane because that's when it's going to be most effective. And here's something that I want to share with you because I got to stay on this week. We need to flush this out just a little bit more before I go. I said to the first service, this is kind of one of those moments where we sit down and we have a family meeting. Did you ever have family meetings when you were a kid? How many love them? It is usually mom. Everybody's coming in and we're sitting down or having a family meeting. And we're going, she seems stable right now. This should be good. Right? But I was thinking of this idea of maturity. Like again, as a shepherd, there's times, you guys know that I'm wired to be an evangelist, so I love telling people about the goodness of God. But what God has asked me to do in addition to that is to be a shepherd, and I'm not always great at being a shepherd. That's not my first thing. Like, I'm to lead people and lead sheep further down the road to maturity, closer to Jesus, but there's a lot of times I just want to lasso you and drag you there. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's not always good, but this is one of those moments where I think I just need to give everybody a gentle push in the direction that I feel that God is reminding us that we need to be going in. And I want to make this statement as we start. Do you know that when you are cognitive of your blessings, that you will approach the throne of God with submission? Are you mindful of the blessings of God? Are you cognitive of those? Do you have those? Do you understand how much God has done for you? Right? And we sang about it in all those songs. It can only be the Holy Spirit putting all things together because he has already gone to the darkest of dark to find you, to rescue you. He has already conquered your grave.
What more does God need to do to show and convince you of his great love? You know what? He's already done enough, hasn't he? That if today you think of human society, right, what do we kind of fear the most? Well, if we're to die, can't get much worse than that. If we were to die, we win. Because he's already done enough. Amen? And so I want to know, are you cognitive of your blessings? Because if you are, then it changes the way we approach the throne of God. And if we trust him because we see all the blessings and all the things and all the victories he's already shared with us, then you know what? We will come before the throne of God in submission saying, you know what? Woo! You know the way. You are the way. I will trust. If he has done all that he needs to do for you, then you know what? Can't you trust him to lead you through whatever fire you may be feeling today? But there's the reality. Like, we've had some news where, you know what, we're saying, okay, we're going to pray. We're going to move this mountain. We're going to do the best that we can. We have to trust him in the midst of the storm. But really, hasn't God brought you through many storms already in your life? Like, if we were to be raw and we were to be real and we were to go around the family table like my mom used to do and we'd go, oh, here she goes, right? And we would say, what has God done for us lately? We would be here the rest of the day and into next week, wouldn't we? Talking about the goodness of God. Well, if God knows what is best for you, can you not trust him in this moment right now, regardless of what you face? You see, it's interesting to me because I do see those seasons of doubt. And we talked about it last week, right? But what do we do when doubt kind of comes in? And I feel like we need to flush out some of these scary moments. Because there's times when life goes sideways, but it doesn't mean that things are out of control if you trust the one who is in control ultimately. Amen? But what do you do when those fears set in? What do you do when those obstacles come? What do you do when those questions start to eat away at your heart? Well, you know what? I hope that you bring them to the Lord. Do you know that God can handle your frustration? And it all comes in the way in which we ask, right? Like, let me ask a few questions this morning and see if you've ever been here, right? Have you ever been there where you're going, God, why did you bring me to this? Why now? You know, have you forgotten me? Is there any babies in here that I'm scaring? But have you asked those questions, like, right? Right? Why have you brought me to this? Have you forgotten me? Like, that's... Those are fair questions maybe sometimes depending upon the circumstances. However, I don't necessarily appreciate the tone. Like there's a difference between that and then maybe these questions. God, man, why have you brought me to this? Lord, I don't understand. Like why now? Lord, have you forgotten me? Do you see the difference there? Right? Like, we can come to God with our frustration, but there's times when I see believers making the mistake of coming to God with their frustrations in anger. You could bring your frustrations to God in all of their pain. Do you know that he can handle your frustrations? And this week, I was kind of thinking of that because we had different news coming in to the left, to the right, and I was going, man, there's a lot of things that are already going on. Lord, how in the world do you keep it all on the rails? And then I was just reminded, man, he is God. That's what we talked about last week. Of course he can keep it on the rails. He is just that big. I don't want a God that's less than. I want a God that I can't comprehend. And I was thinking of David. David is one of those fellas who kept bringing his frustrations. Like he was so raw with God. Now do a character study on David. David made so many mistakes, right? Like he was screwing around. He was committing adultery. He was murdering and plotting to murder some of his very best and most loyal friends. Like David's story is so twisted. And then yet he's called a man after God's own heart. Like that, if that's not peculiar to you, it should be, right? Because again, what does it do? It takes away all of the highlight of the mistakes and the struggles and the weaknesses that we can experience as human beings, and it reminds us that God is greater than all of those things. David can make a mess at times in his life, and yet he can still be known as someone who chases after God's heart. Wow. And so why? Why in the world was he known like that after so many errors and so many mistakes? Well, it's found in his writing. right? This morning, I want to share with you Psalm 31, verses 9 and following, and many of you will already know this, but think of how raw David is. I wonder if you can relate to this. He says, "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow." Have you ever been there? Those sleepless nights when your mind won't stop and worry is just there. There's so many things that could go wrong, and you're kind of counting how many of those things they are, and you find yourself weeping and weeping and weeping, and your eyes are weak with sorrow. He goes on to say, "My soul and my body with grief." They're weak with grief. "My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak." Have you been there? Yeah. You know what? There's moments when we don't understand because we can't see the whole picture, and it seems like everything we touch turns to mud, and bad times seem to be the place in which we dwell. And if you are going through the fire, you may say, "Lord, why? Why in the world is all of this happening? If you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords and everything is under your control, why in the world don't you just bring me to the end of these trials?" Have you ever felt that? You know, and you'd say, well, what in the world would make David such a mess? Like, it's handy when we study the Word of God to kind of look at it chronologically, like what was going on in David's life. David's life at this point, he was living in exile. He was working for some of his worst enemies, right? The Philistines included as a mercenary. He was being hunted by his very king, whom he loved. Saul was trying to kill him because he was jealous of him. And David and his mighty men were fleeing from cave to cave, hanging out in the shadows, no home, no place to lay their head. That's what was going on with David. You can read it in 1 Samuel, right? So this is the mess that is David's life. He goes on to say, "Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead." You ever felt that? "I have become like broken pottery." Like, what good is that? "For I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life." Have you ever felt hopeless like that? You know, you have. Like, there has been times when hope is hard to see. And you know what? You come to God feeling utterly defeated. But do we come to Him in anger? Well, if the circumstances are your focus, then yeah, you may come in anger. If you are the focus, then yeah, you may come in anger. But what does David do? Listen, he goes on to say, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I trust in you, O Lord. I say that you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant." Listen to his perspective there. Who is David? He is a servant of the Most High God. "Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and like the silent in the grave." Is that raw? Is that real enough for us this morning? Like, think about this whole idea that when things are going sideways, we can either focus on the circumstance and focus on self and have a pity party and get angry at the circumstance, or we can choose, like David, to focus on God's mighty hand and all the history that He has brought us through and understand that we are still a servant of who? A servant of the Most High. And when we know our place, all of a sudden, the circumstances don't matter as much. Now, you think about David saying, you know what, let the wicked be found in the grave, essentially is what he's saying. You want to check your heart before you pray a prayer like that. Because if you're praying, let the wicked be found in the grave, and there's wickedness in your heart, that's not a very wise prayer. Can I say that? Kind of a dangerous thing, right? So hear me, church, on this, right? I want to talk a little bit about maturity today. You know what? That there is a very fine line between seeking and demanding. a very, very fine line in between seeking and demanding. And it's kind of interesting. I see people in the church all the time who cross that line. Instead of seeking God in their sorrow, they come demanding of God in their sorrow. That's a very dangerous place to be. Why do we make that fatal mistake? I think we make that mistake because we're not cognitive of God's blessing. Right? Are you aware of all that he has done? And when we are, then all of a sudden the things that we face seem a lot smaller compared to what God has already done, doesn't it? You can always ask God, why? I just want to remind us the way in which we approach the throne is can be disastrous or beautiful. Do you know that God longs to use you even in the state of a mess, in the state of panic, in the state of, really, God, why now? Do you know that he longs to use you, to move you towards greater maturity? And here's the deal. That road that travels to, the road that leads to more maturity, the road that you have to travel to get there, that's not an easy road. And so this is what I see sometimes in church leadership, right? I see people getting stuck. They demand the blessings of God, but they don't want to put any effort forward, right? Christ has already done enough. Yes, he has. I deserve this. Ooh, be careful now. I just want us as a body of believers to do, you know what, a gut check today. To understand that sometimes God is going to ask you to walk down roads that you really don't want to be on, but let's walk them well. Why? Because he's God. And if he has asked us to walk them, then you know what? Let's show the courage to the world that would get us to the other side, because on the other side is the blessings that we seek. Do you do that? Or are you one of those people who kind of demands blessings of God? Do you demand to be heard? Like, I see this right now in the church culture. This is kind of what bothers me. In the church culture, it's maybe North America, that's what I'm most familiar with. I'm hoping this is not a worldwide phenomenon. But I see in the church culture believers who choose not to be cognitive of their blessings. They demand more blessings. You see the difference there? So in other words, we see this. We see if someone makes a mistake as a leader, this is really prevalent in our culture right now. If somebody makes a mistake as a leader, then we throw out everything that they have ever done to that point because we choose to judge them. So there's songs right now that we sing, some songs that we sing, that some people are going, why in the world are you singing that song? Do you not know the story behind that ministry? And I'm going, hold on. Is this song been a blessing in our past? Yes, that's why we started singing it. Is this song written based upon the truth of the Holy Scriptures? Yes, it is. Well, then why in the world would we throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak? You know what? Unless God tells me not to sing a song, I'm pretty sure that the next leader who's trying to get his moment in the spotlight shouldn't be telling me what to do, because the commander-in-chief is way more important than him or her. Like, I see the church wanting to attack one another, demanding blessing. The church wanting to attack one another, demanding to be heard. I see the church wanting to attack one another so that they can have their 15 minutes of fame. And all the while, you know what's being missed? God. You see, if we were cognitive of the blessings that he's already given us, we would be focused on him and not the little scandals and drama that happens around us. But boy, we demand to be heard. Like, Allison had this. It was kind of interesting. And Facebook is not the great place to find your theology. I hope everybody knows that. Right? I've been trying to post a few Facebook quotes that challenged me over the years and some of those things. And I say, you know what? Hopefully that makes your brain tingle a little bit if you read some of those things. And you know what? Some of those things are pretty offensive even, if you're not coming through the lens of Christ and what he's done on the cross. So I post some of those quotes to simply make you think and maybe frustrate the world. You know what? If I can aggravate them a little bit and they come and talk with me, then everybody wins. Amen? So make them think, right? It's, again, I can't make anybody drink, but I hopefully can sure make them thirsty. You know what I'm saying? So that's what some of that is. Well, Allison, again, don't go to Facebook for all your theology. if you find some good posts that are there and they make you think that's wonderful, then investigate them and pore over them with scripture and prayer and all those sorts of things. But Allison had this one. She had it on her Facebook page. And again, I thought it was kind of interesting. She says, it's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. And it made my brain go, yeah. Right? Let me read it again. It's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. And I was thinking about that. I said, you know what? That sounds so much like our culture and some of the things that frustrate me about the church, right? It doesn't seem to always reflect the heart of the Father, the church culture right now. Right? And so even I was having some of these discussions with even Love Atlantic. Like, Love Atlantic was a great thing, and I love that it happened. What bothered me about Love Atlantic is still there was a lot of times where the church was getting a pat on the back, like, look at what we're doing. Okay, so I had to find the balance of that because I don't like that. I don't want people to see what we're doing. I want people to experience what God has done. Does that make sense? So if we're doing something for good, it's not because we're good. Trust me, you and I are not good. Right? We're wretches, and we've been saved by grace. And what we try to do is we do good things because we want people to see that very grace that has saved us. And so it shouldn't be about the church. It should always be about the Lord. And I was going, wow, it's amazing to me. We can bring all of those frustrations to God as long as God is the focus. But as soon as God stops being the focus and we think that we know what he should say, all of a sudden we cross lines. And the enemy's waiting for that, right? That's why it's so important to take captive every thought, and yet sometimes we don't take captive every thought. And so what do I see in the church today? I see the enemy talking to leaders and to people in the church saying, you know what, you should be jealous because you're not getting the attention that you deserve. And we go, yeah, that's right. You know what, I do a lot around here. And all of a sudden, we don't take captive that thought. It stops being about God and his glory. Then it starts being about our glory and our recognition. So there's where, you know what, Love Atlantic, sometimes I was battling that. If you got a hashtag Love Atlantic so everybody knows what you're doing, how does your right hand not know what your left hand is doing when your left hand is tweeting it before it's even done? Right? So is the focus on God? Those are the questions that I have sometimes, right? Like I see the enemy saying, you know what? You need more applause. Really? Like the book of the month that comes out in the Christian world, I usually don't read it for the first few years. Why? Because I worry that some people are simply writing a book for applause. And once their hype has died down, right? And as I get to know the leader that's the hot new author, if I see consistency in their life, well, then maybe, you know what, I'll read what they have to say and pray about it and see what's going on. But wow, I see the enemy whispering in a lot of ears. It's this idea that, you know what, it's time to stop the show and bring back out the altars of the Lord. Like, there's so many ministries out there where the focus is self and it seems to be getting away from God. And that's scary to me. But you know what? That's always been. There's been people at odds in the church all the time. How in the world do we battle that? Well, I wanted to read one for you today. Again, this is more of a devotional kind of, let's go further down the road. Have you ever seen conflict in church? Sure you have. Right? How many of you, this isn't your first church. You've been to several churches. Sure you have. You know, why do you leave? Sometimes it's because you move. Sometimes it's because you don't get your way. You go to different churches. That's not necessarily a good thing. But you know what? It's amazing to me how long it's been around. Galatians 2, there's this situation where Paul and Peter are at war. Okay? Well, who are Paul and Peter? Well, think about that. These are the two fellers who built the church from the beginning. They were the ones that Jesus said, hey, you guys are going to do this, and you're going to do it well. And you know what? If they had issues, doesn't it bring you a little bit of hope that, hey, even though I still have issues, God could still use me? So let's look at what was going on in Galatians 2, starting to read it, verse 11. This is Paul writing. Paul has a beef with Peter. He says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face. Well, that's not sounding very good. Right? For what he did was very wrong. Okay, now I know it's not good. Right? This is bad. He says, when he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter couldn't or wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from those people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all of the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like the Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that the person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Jesus Christ so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of the law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements so that I might live in God. Like, this is a heated argument, right? It's kind of interesting that it's recorded in Scripture because, again, this whole idea of being raw and real before God is kind of where I'm kind of talking about today. Do you see these two had frustrations? What were they frustrated about? Paul was frustrated about Peter's inconsistency as he saw it. Can you imagine somebody disagreeing in the church? My land, I can't imagine. You mean they didn't see eye to eye and hold hands and sing kumbaya every second of every day? What church is this foretell, right? Here's the deal, that sometimes there's going to be frustrations in the church. But if we are going to be mature, I hope we don't get lost looking at the circumstance, focusing in on the frustrations. What did these two do? If you go on to read in Scripture, you'll find out that they never come to a place where it says that they reconciled and had this beautiful moment of crying and repenting. That's not found in Scripture. What is found in Scripture is it says that all of a sudden, you know what? They started to understand that they didn't work well together, so they started to focus in on whom they agreed upon, which was God Himself, and they started to encourage the people that God brought in their lane, and so they both took different lanes, not working together, but working for the same kingdom. That's maturity, right? Putting aside self. Putting aside wanting and demanding to be right for the goal that was way greater, for the goal that was God. Isn't it good to know that you're not alone in your struggles? I get a kick out of those churches that say, oh, we got it all together. No, you don't. Just saying that tells me that you're a mess, right? Like, think about that. I want the world to understand that, you know what, the church has its struggles too, because even the church sometimes focuses in on the wrong thing. And when we choose to be selfish, what happens? Who gets hurt? Well, the community sees grossness. That's bad, right? I mean, the community sees hypocrisy in the church all the time, right? What's worse is you get hurt because you become stagnant. You become stopped all of a sudden when you start to focus in on self. When selfishness happens in your spirit and in your life, you stay stuck exactly where you are, and you don't move beyond that point. You're supposed to be in progress. Then how come we see so many believers stopped? Right? Like, you get stuck in your faith, and what do? Instead of asking God to deliver you, right, you build a home right there. I'm staying here. To heck with them all. I'm going to build a church on the other side of the road. Welcome to the Maritimes. Isn't that amaze you? Did you ever notice that? Man, there's two beautiful churches. The reason why they're there isn't beautiful. Somebody got mad at so-and-so, and they said, forget you, I'm going to build my church on the other side of the road. Why on the other side of the road? Because then you'll be reminded every day of your sin. Oh, yeah, take that. Let that anger keep you warm at night. Heating bill will be right down on the church. We'll never have to burn anything because we'll be burning our own rage. We are to be in progress. Mark Driscoll put it this way. He's another one of those fellows. I like to read him. Why? Because he makes people mad. And he makes people think. I think that's a wonderful thing. I don't mind controversy as long as it's leading somewhere, right? He said this. He says, the church was custom built by Jesus. Amen? The church was custom built by Jesus, and we are all works in progress. We do not expect people to get their sin in order before attending church any more than the hospital expects people to be healed before they show up. We are all works in progress. Are you a work in progress? Because that's key today. Are you one of those people who's always right and everybody else is wrong and you wish that they would just listen to you? In fact, you demand that they would listen to you and that they would change so that your world would be a little bit better. Because if your world was a little bit better, then the whole world would be a little bit brighter. Do you know how many times I talk with believers that are in fights, like full-out wars that God has never asked them to be a part of, and yet there they are doing war with their brothers and sisters? Why? Why? Because we stop focusing on the one, and we start focusing on one. That's gross. And that's not progress. That's when all of a sudden we dig in our heels and we build foundations that were never meant to be built, and we call it home because I will not move from this hill. I will die here. Get to dying and out of the way. Right? Wow. Why do we choose to get in God's way instead of to get in the lane that he has asked us to be in? I don't know. Again, there's this thin line between seeking and demanding. I want to ask you today, what are you doing? Are you seeking God's will for you, or are you demanding that everybody hear it? Are you demanding that he say what you think he should say? Are you demanding that you get your way? Like, it's amazing to me, right? So again, how do we avoid that? How do we avoid that getting stuck? How do we avoid building a home where we should not have camped, let alone set up base? How do we get beyond where we think we should be and head towards the maturity of Christ? It can only happen when you're cognitive of your blessings. Because when you understand how much God has already given you, how much God has already done, how much God has already brought you through, then all of a sudden we realize that God is the focus. And what does it do? It changes you. So instead of coming to the throne of God angry and demanding, you come to the throne of God with submission and humility. Are you cognitive of your blessings? You know, David brought his frustrations to the Father, right? But he did it knowing that it was the Father. Right? Paul and Peter didn't have to hug and get along. Paul and Peter needed to find their lane and remember who is the foundation of every road that we travel. It is God. Let's focus on God and the people that he has sent us to love. Let's not argue any longer. They knew they were in progress. Aren't you glad that they were in progress? Aren't you glad because you too are in progress? That means that, you know what? We don't have to focus long on the me if we would focus on him. What needs to die in you? Like, that's what I want to ask this morning. What battle do you need to stop fighting because God hadn't asked you to fight it at all? Are you truly cognitive of your blessings? Do you count your blessings? Because it'll change the way you come to God, because you'll come to God in submission, trusting him. Why? Because he's already done enough. Are you there? Are you demanding to be heard, demanding you make a way where there is no way? No, 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 no. I see a lot of people in the church who are on a painful, hypocritical, unfruitful highway. And it's all mine, 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 mine. It's not about being a team, and that's certainly not about having a coach. Everybody bow your heads. I think it's neat once in a while just to be reminded of some of those fundamental things that sometimes we forget. You know what? They may be lessons long learned, so they're so long learned that they They're almost forgotten. If we could focus in on the one who gave all, then you and I would be way more healthy, way more submissive, way more grateful. You know what? We would understand that we too are in progress, that we don't have the answers. We serve the answer. And maybe then we could just get in a lane that's useful. Even like Peter and Paul, they got out of each other's way. Praise the Lord, they had maturity enough to do it. Praise the Lord that they loved the bride enough to continue. Praise the Lord that they chose the Lord. Woo! What could happen in you today if you chose the Lord? And I'm talking to believers. This isn't a message for sinners. You know what I'm saying? Church, we need to be reminded of that. If we would be cognitive of our blessings, we would understand that He is bigger than anything else we face. So this would be my prayer, that there would be less of us and more of Him. I'm hoping that as a family we could do that. It's called maturity. It hurts, but boy, it's worth it. Let's pray together. Father, less of us and more of you. Less of us and more of you. Less of us and more of you. In Jesus' name, amen.